Well, good morning, EBC, and it's such a privilege for me to be back with you guys this morning preaching. And if you don't know me, my name is Mitchell, and I have the amazing privilege of being the youth and young adults pastor here at EBC, and I'm just so joyful that you are here with us this morning. And today, I have another privilege to look back over 2019, which was one of the best years of my life so far. And the reason for this is because Amber and I, my wife and I, made a really big decision in January to start planning a day which would change the course of the rest of our lives forever. I asked and she said yes. And from that very moment, we jumped into planning mode. We booked a date and we phoned all of our closest friends and family to see if they were available to join us on this momentous occasion. We spent hours on the internet trying to find just the right outfits that we could wear for this amazing day. We did all the research that we possibly could to make sure that this day could go as smoothly as possible because of how special and wonderful it would be. Each day, the suspense and anticipation grew within us, and we just got more and more excited as the days ticked on. And then finally, that amazing day came. The premiere of Avengers Endgame. Man, we were so excited. We've been looking forward to this the whole year. And so we woke up that morning, we jumped out of bed, we got dressed, and we drove to the movie theater to see the end of this amazing story that we had been following for the last 10 years. And let me just tell you, it did not disappoint. The way that they brought the whole story to an end was triumphant, it was glorious, it was amazing, and the day did not at all disappoint. And the reason why I tell this story, the two reasons why I tell this story is, number one, I want you to take note of how captivated you were by it. You were hanging on every word as I told this story. And the second thing is, like, how crazy it is that two people would put so much effort into watching a movie. And I'm sure that we all have our stories that we love following. Maybe it's a book in a series that we look forward to coming out. Maybe it's a series that the next season is coming out and we wait day in and day out, checking, is it out yet? Is it out yet? And the reason for this is because we as a culture love stories. We love stories, and the biggest evidence for this is the fact that stories have been made into many different multi-billion dollar industries. Books, movies, series, folklore, mythology, astrology, all of these things have been a deep and entrenched part of our culture for centuries. From the very beginning, story was one of the most fundamental ways that we made sense of our experience, our emotions, and our lives. And what I love so much about our God is that He loves us and understands us so deeply that when He came to the earth in the form of His Son, He chose story to be one of the most prominent ways of communicating His truth to us. How incredible is it that our Father knew us so well and loved us so deeply that He chose a teaching method that was so close to our hearts to communicate deep things about Himself to us. I think it's unbelievable. And over the next few weeks, we will be going through a series called True Fiction, where we are going to be looking at the parables of Jesus. The reason why we've called it True Fiction is because, yes, these stories are fictive. These stories are not true, but they do communicate deep, meaningful, and transformative truths that I believe, once internalized and once they take root in our hearts, have the potential to completely transform us from the inside out. But in order for these truths to penetrate us in this transformative way, we need to be a little bit countercultural in the way that we approach them. You see, often in the church, we have people who will come and fill the auditorium or come and fill the seats, and they will leave saying, man, I got a lot out of that sermon. Or you'll leave and say, oh, I didn't get too much out of that sermon. But the question that I want to ask you today is, what are you going to bring to the next couple of weeks? You see, I believe that when Jesus told parables, He placed more emphasis on story hearing than He did on storytelling. And the parable that we're going to look at today makes this point very clearly. And so I want to challenge you as we go into this series, don't let the preacher be the one who puts in all the work. Yes, the preacher is going to work hard. And yes, you probably will hear good sermons. But what we need to do as a church community is make sure that we are putting as much effort into story hearing as the preachers are into story telling. And so we're going to jump to Matthew 13 today, where we are going to be reading about a parable about parables. A parable about parable. You see where I'm going with this. So the story that we're going to look at is where Jesus is in a boat and he tells this really crazy parable about a sower who went out and was scattering seed everywhere. And Jesus then told a story about how some of these seeds fell on different kinds of soil, and the different kinds of soil had different effects on the way that the seed grew. The first seed fell along the path, and what would have happened on the path is that people were walking on the soil, so it became really hard, and the seed couldn't penetrate the soil. Therefore, the birds were able to just come and snatch the seed away. The second kind of soil that Jesus speaks about is the soil on the rocky ground. What this means is that there is soil on top of the ground, and underneath it would have been like limestone or something. And so, yeah, the seeds would have gone underneath the soil and it would have shot up really quickly, but the roots wouldn't have been able to penetrate the rhinestone and therefore wouldn't have gotten the nutrients it needs, and so the sun would have scorched it. The third kind of soil that the seed falls on is the thorny soil, where yes, the seed would grow up and it would germinate, but because of all the thorns, there wasn't enough space for the grain to grow properly, and so it would get suffocated and it would die. Then finally, we come to the good and productive soil, where once germinated, this seed produces 30, 60, and 100 fold, which is unbelievable, and it's amazing. And Jesus ends off this parable by saying, "He who has ears, let him hear." Now, what I love about this parable is that the disciples were confused. And so the disciples say this to Jesus. The disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." And so what I want us to take from this passage this morning is two things, two points. Yes, I've deviated from the Baptist structure. Please don't kick me out. These two things I hope will give us insight into how we perceive truth, okay? So I want us to take from this passage insight into how we perceive truth. So the first point today is that insight into truth is a miracle of salvation, all right? Insight into truth is a miracle of salvation. Let's read from verse 10. "Then the disciples came to him and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.'" This small passage carries within it one glorious truth and one deep challenge. Let's look at the glorious truth first. Now, what we need to bear in mind here is that the disciples who had approached Jesus were not saints. They were not righteous in and of their own right. They were tax collectors and political extremists, and they were thieves. They were all broken and fallen sinners who were outcasts in their own society and were by no means righteous in and of themselves. They were all deeply sinful. So it was not their righteousness that gave them understanding into the word of God. And we also need to bear in mind that all of them were uneducated men and therefore would probably be the last ones to have understanding. It was not their intellect that gave them understanding. And yet, the secrets of the kingdom of God had been revealed to them. These uneducated outcasts had a greater understanding into the words of Jesus than the educated Pharisees. How is this right? How does this happen? Well, you see, in a kingdom, the people who know the secrets of the kingdom are those in close proximity to the king. I'm going to say that again. In a kingdom, the people who know the secrets, the inner workings of the kingdom, are those who are in close proximity to the king. And not just in close proximity to the king, often family to the king. People of noble birth who had a right to the secret knowledge of the workings of the kingdom that the general population did not need to know about. It was a special place to be in when you had knowledge to the secrets of a kingdom. And Jesus is saying to these uneducated, unrighteous people, you have